Clap for Jason in 3, 2, 1. One day it'll be just actual applause for Jason and all the hard work he does for us.
Jason, leave that in.
We are always clapping for Jason.
We are. All right, let's do this. Welcome to But Why Though, the podcast, a roundtable conversation about all things pop culture with members of the But Why Though writing staff. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined this week by Kate.
Hi, I'm sick.
And Swara.
Oh no, Kate. Salamtek. That's what they say in Arabic when someone's sick. Hey, everyone.
And this week, we're going to talk about release models in the streaming era and Kate's cough and just like weekly releases versus binges and all that stuff. But before we get into that, we want to get into the news. I always say that there's a lot going on, but this week there's really just not nearly as much going on. I was told just before recording this that the Canadian Writers Guild has voted pretty overwhelmingly to also strike and also over AI. Swara, do you have more information on that?
I just saw this news today. Honestly, I've mainly been paying attention to the ongoing genocide in Gaza and specifically the student protests that are going on right now. Solidarity, that's amazing. I've been sort of low on entertainment news recently, so, but this is great. You know, I support strikers, you know, in any industry. I do. Another piece of news is that related to strikes is that the Sesame Street Union actually averted a strike, which is great. You know, power to the puppeteers, power to the voice actors on Sesame Street. And, you know, that's great. Very happy for the kiddos. And we love Sesame Street. We stan Elmo in this house. Elmo, like, represents a lot of us. But the thing is, like, yeah, with the Canadian strike, that's interesting. Is, like, we in the U.S., we consume a lot of Canadian TV. Like, this is just one example. But the Arrowverse, so many DC TV shows, all produced in Vancouver. So I'm not sure how much they could necessarily classify as a Canadian production, but at least it's a Canadian co-production. So all that to say is that we do, in fact, consume a lot of Canadian TV. So this will definitely affect us as consumers here in the U.S. But again, just like with the writer's strike of America, power to the strikers, and hopefully they'll get their demands ASAP.
Form a union, kill your boss, but not really. I didn't authorize that.
Yeah, that last part, it's just words.
Yes, just words. Just graffiti that was on an office wall one time. Not legally liable.
Not liable, not at all. I do want to circle back, Swara, and talk about, you said the student strikes, and yeah, that is something that we just want to voice, like, But Why Though supports this. We do not support what is happening to these students, but we support their cause. And yeah, just like, want to put that out there. It's very important to us. And yeah, I mean, I don't know that I can really elaborate beyond that than other than saying, like, we appreciate what you're doing and we see it.
Yeah, I think that's like one of the things, like, so I work university relations at my job currently. I do a lot of stuff with UT. And so, like, one, that's also my alma mater. So seeing the students show up really mean something. Was not shocked by Texas's response because it's the South, y'all. But very proud of these students. As always, if you're still listening to this podcast at this point, you know that we're anti-genocide.
And you should be too.
Exactly. Like,
but yeah, and then so to do one more news item, do you guys want to talk about all the games that dropped this week, or do you want to talk about the Lord of the Rings stuff?
I want to talk about Lord of the Rings, because I can plug all the game stuff at the end, because we got reviews
okay,
and stuff.
Okay, perfect.
But I want to talk about that cute little cozy hobbit game, where you get to be a little hobbit in a hobbit hole, and I'm excited. That is
my wife is going to lose her mind when I tell her about
this.
She loves cozy games, loves Lord of the Rings.
What sucks is I have no idea if it's co-op or not yet, and that is, like, that's going to be the deal breaker, because if it's
co-op,
Matt and I are going to go unseen for, like,
I'm going to disappear.
Time. You're just going to be hobbits cooking and fishing together.
This is an improved version of Animal Crossing, it would seem, if it were co-op.
Yeah, well, so, and that's, like, the thing, too. So, there's a game from Singularity 6 called Palia, and Palia is a cozy MMO. That is a very, very good game. Stylistically, Tales of the Shire looks a lot like that, with some of the same functions, at least from what we've seen in the trailer. So, I'm hoping that they're going for that same type of thing. Doesn't have to be MMO, but I would just, like, co-op. And it is published by Private Division, which those folks don't miss. We love Private Division over here. And it is developed by Weta Workshop, which is, you know, they know it's a thing or two about Lord of the Rings.
Oh, just a little bit. And then, yeah, the other big Lord of the Rings thing, and we're telling you this now because you have 2 months to, or like a month and a half to sort it out, is that on June 8th, 9th, and 10th, you will be able to go to the theater 3 days in a row and watch each extended edition remastered in 4K in theaters. And that's it. There's no more. It's literally just like, come out, watch the remaster, watch the, I mean, it's the extended version, so you know it's the good version. And that's happening. And I feel like Lord of the Rings is having just a real good moment today, like this week in general.
Totally.
Yeah. Would you all like to say what dates that's going to be in theaters? Did we say that?
Oh yeah. 8th, 9th, and 10th of June. And it's only those 3 days as far as I can tell. And Kate, they can't see you grimacing a little bit.
So mad. That's Summer Game Fest, so either I'm going to fly all the way to LA to not play video games and just go sit in a movie theater, or I'm just going to go play video games. The jury's out on what I choose.
I mean, maybe there'll just be like a lot of showings and you can just like pop in wherever. Midnight. Just like, hey, I need to leave early today for reasons.
I'm gonna midnight screening Lord of the Rings extended edition.
It would be worth it. Just roll into my appointment.
Do it.
Live your best life. This is just the greatest film trilogy of all time.
It is. It is. And I would like to point out that Tales of the Shire, because we've gotten quite a few like Lord of the Rings games. There was I can't remember the name of it. The Gollum game, which is horrible.
I was going to say, do you want to talk about Gollum?
No, I don't, actually. Gollum, and then we have the Mines of Moria, which was, like, pretty janky as well. And then you have, like, Shadow of Mordor and those, but, like, they're all, like, really focused on something pretty dark, grim. I mean, Mines of Moria isn't, like, entirely that, but, like, it's not, like, happy, joyful life. And so I'm really excited that we're going to get a game that is just like, oh yeah, no, like Gandalf loves the hobbits because all they do is drink and party, and you get to do that and eat.
What if that's the end of the game, is just Bilbo's birthday party?
Oh my god,
that would be so cool.
That would be amazing.
It's just the whole game is a prequel where you do nothing and party for like 100 hours, and then it's like, good job, you did everything, now there's a birthday party. All right, so I think that does it for the news. Moving on to the main segment, Binge versus Weekly, not to make this immediately adversarial.
The battles and all battles.
But it is. I can't point to episode numbers, but I feel like we've discussed this just not like as a fully dedicated conversation, which this idea did come from one of our rotating hosts, Adrian. I think partly because of like everything with Amazon Prime's or Prime Video, whatever you call the platforms.
People keep bitching about Fallout. That's why. That's why.
Because they wanted more time to like enjoy it.
People are crying because they want to be able to talk about something, and if it's not on Twitter, it's not real life.
Yeah.
One thing I saw somebody say
about Fallout that I think applies to more than just Fallout was like, oh, like it would have been nice to have more time to sit with it and with like the cliffhangers. And I realized that a cliffhanger in something that gets released all at once is kind of a bonkers thing. Like, it just, if you're releasing the entire story all at once, having a section of it end with a really big dramatic unknown when someone's just going to hit next and then hit skip intro and then see it resolve.
Have you started watching a show at 10 o'clock at night and then you get 3 episodes in and you're like, cool, honey, we'll go to bed after this. And then the cliffhanger happens and you end up staying up until 6 a.m. to finish it? No, it still hits. It still hits.
I mean, I'm not saying that it doesn't hit. I'm just saying it's
it still hits.
To me, it's just really interesting that as a storytelling mechanic has stayed when we're like, the whole thing is right here.
It works in books, too. Like, cliffhangers have happened in chapters of books for forever.
Oh, totally. But I still feel a little like, sometimes, like, I'm like, that's really cool. I'm intrigued. And then I'm like, but I'm just going to turn the page and keep going. Like, for me personally, I know that, like, for the broader audience, yes, it works. But for me, it's always felt a little bit like, but it's right there. Like, you can find out what happens right now. Although I guess that's to your point of like, that's what keeps people going. And also, yeah, I want to be clear when we say for what we're talking about, binge versus release. No, I don't know that we're talking specifically about the act of like watching, you know, 2 to 6 episodes or however Netflix defined it like a decade ago, but just the idea of like dropping the whole season at once, just saying like, here's all 10 episodes, enjoy, and, you know, engage it however you want to. And then weekly is exactly what it sounds like. To make sure that all sides were represented in this conversation, we kind of like asked around with our host to be like, so who feels what, and do you want to get into this fight on mic? Personally, I feel like pretty neutral. I feel like both of them for me have a context or a time that I want them. But I know you guys are less neutral. So what camp do you find yourself in?
I am pro all at once. I am very pro all at once, unless it is something that is like a 24 episode show. Like if we were back in the old numbers that we used to have that took all of that time, but like something like Castlevania that was four episodes at 2 hours, I'm going to watch that once. 8 episodes at 4 hours, I can watch that all in one sitting. There's no point for me to wait consistently because I do not have time. I would rather watch it on my own pace than wait for somebody else to dictate that. So that's where I am, and very strongly that way.
Totally. I have additional thoughts on that, but I'll wait till we're deeper in the conversation. But you did just set off something in my mind of a time where for me weekly doesn't work. And it has to do with modern like episode counts and how we tell stories and pace them now. But we'll get to that. Swara, would you like to explain a little bit about your feelings on this?
You know, I come at this from not necessarily, you know, dismissing away the binge model. I often really do enjoy a good binge. I think it's more that I come at it from a defensive position for the weekly model. I think that sometimes I actually also do have criticisms of the binge model when I think something could have been weekly, because I think it may be better for the filmmakers, the showrunners, the actors who are producing something and may would want it to be enjoyed by audiences over a wider time, and that it could be still be in the popular discourse, and thus the series in particular could have just more relevance, basically. And I think that, again, each of them has its own place. I agree with Kate that, you know, if it's a longer series, it should probably be weekly, you know, when we have plenty of those. And if it's something like really short, like for example, one of my favorite series that's out that comes out on Peacock, We Are Lady Parts, which is about a British Muslim punk band set in the UK. And that's a binge series. It comes out in 6 episode batches. The second season is coming out May 30th. That's somewhere where I think it does work well. But then there are sometimes I think, wait, We Are Lady Parts, this could have been just one movie. It's just 6 episodes. So why are we releasing it just in this like single bunch? But it's slightly longer than a movie. So it's sort of in this different zone. There are different categories for sure. And each has their own place.
Well, that's the bigger issue here, is like when you look at the way that series, and I think Netflix, Disney series actually have these issues and these things. They're like 6 episodes. 6 to 8 episodes, and ultimately they are being shot as if they were like going through a 3-act structure. Like Moon Knight, I gave a really glowing review to, because I saw all 4 episodes at one time. If I had watched it weekly, it would not have been as glowing. Because they're creating and they're writing these things, and this is something that happened a lot where you're having film writers come in and write TV shows. Writing episodic TV is not the same as writing something that as a whole. So I do think that there are elements in which like you have to write for the form that you're being distributed in. However, people know what they're getting into when it comes out. When they sign the contracts, they know how it's going to be distributed. So that is how you should address it. It's not some like mind-blowing thing. And I know Eric Kripke, who wrote The Boys, has talked a lot about this. There has been a very concerted effort for screenwriters to write things like movies and not like episodic television. And I think that that is like, there is a blurring line between the two that makes it a problem. I also think overall, like when you talk about in the pop culture consciousness, like Twitter is not a real place. It literally has the least amount of users of any social media platform. The majority of social media platforms aren't actually talking about, aren't actually having conversations on TV shows, unless they are already prestige television with already giant people in it, that doesn't do anything. So like outside of getting people to discourse about your show, or like it's nothing. And even then, discourse doesn't always translate to views. I think Miss Marvel is an excellent example of that. There was discourse, every episode, the viewings declined substantially as it went on. And so when you talk about putting these shows in a way to succeed, sometimes that longer episodic format does not work with shows that have not been made to be episodic with those payoffs each episode. Yeah. And I think that's what the Disney series suffers from.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Well, so that's the thing that I was going to bring up is that where a time where weekly doesn't work for me is with that modern structure of storytelling, because what happens is inevitably you hit that episode where this is the setup episode where we're going to move all the pieces into place for what happens next. And it just kind of sucks as an episode on its own. So you effectively end up waiting, like you're like, I waited a week and then it wasn't that great. And now I have to wait another week to see the payoff.
Yeah.
Right. Which is why that's most like where Marvel, it's like, okay, MCU this should have been sucked. But clear glowing example.
Well, and what's funny, those are the exact shows that I was like, oh yes, this is where that happens.
But a clear example that's bucking that trend right now, ironically from Marvel, is X-Men 97.
It's nostalgia bait though. It's nostalgia.
But each episode is crafted so well independently while still connecting in a story, just like the previous series did. I mean, I agree with you. There is some nostalgia bait in there, but honestly, I think this may just be one of the best things Marvel has ever put on screen. Like, I just think each episode they've crafted, Beau DeMaio and his team, they've crafted like really resonant internal stories, again, that still connect to each other and do it so succinctly, and makes each episode that comes out each week a little jewel.
What's the episode count on it?
10 episodes. And the thing is, like, they're releasing the finale in 3 episodes, and they're just gonna dump that on Wednesday, which is understandable because, again, that is one story that's concluding this overall season. And I really do think that this is the best weekly release that Marvel Studios has ever put out on Disney Plus.
But that's 5 hours of your time though. Like if this was something like Bad Batch or even like some of the Star Wars animated series, like you're investing in me for a very long time. Like those are in your double digit counts and going into like old episodic lengths. 10 episodes is still not a full like episodic count when you look at it.
Sure, but again, each episode is its own story, relatively. Again, compared to the other MCU series, which absolutely you were on the money that those were just 6-part movies, incredibly fragmented, not leaving viewers satisfied, and often their finales are, if most often, I think Hawkeye may have been the only like really good finale out of all of those series. And I enjoyed Moon Knight a lot, but I will absolutely like critique it that same way of it being fragmented.
Yeah.
And I really just think that X-Men 97, I agree with you, Kate, like we live in way too much nostalgia and reboot culture. Absolutely. And like the nostalgia bait, but I genuinely think it took the best part of that original series and applied it to this weekly release format. And that's where I like enjoy about weekly releases, having that anticipation of what's going to happen next, like the eagerness. And like, yeah, I know, like I'm not even talking about Twitter. I'm just talking about like, I haven't been talking about it at all on social media. I've just been talking about it on Discord with friends. And we just like theorize together. We have like fun conversations. Just like for me personally, so that's just been that, like, so fun to have.
But you don't have to have something release episodically to do that. Like, you can have something drop as a binge and then say, every day we're going to watch this episode.
So you need friends, like, who agree to do it to pace themselves.
Because like you all are individually... No, it's not, actually. It's not, actually, because I ran for 5 months, 90-day fiancé Sundays, where 10 people got together in a Discord call and watched however many episodes of 90 Day Fiancé as we could. Right now, I am doing cardio to K-dramas where me and a friend watch one episode of a K-drama that's releasing. They release 2 at a time on Netflix. We watch one episode, talk about it, and do our cardio. So, like, it is possible to talk with your friends. You have to put in the work to do it. And that is one of the things where, like, that's not removed with the binge model. It's still possible with a binge model. You just have to put in
I think as you're saying it, I'm like, I don't have friends who are good for that, because what will happen is a show will drop everything. And then my friends will be like, well, 2 of us had the afternoon off on Wednesday, so we watched the first half of the season. And then everyone else is like, okay, I guess we'll try to catch up. But like, but no, I agree. It's like you can put in the work. And I think that that's what's interesting, is that the binge model does allow for the weekly viewership to continue. But the weekly model requires you to like And I actually, I should say, I have a friend who did this with Game of Thrones. She wouldn't have an HBO subscription, would wait for the season to wrap, would get 1 month, mm-hmm. watch the whole thing, and then cancel.
Well, and that's the other thing,
and that
too.
Was how she handled
like,
it
every time.
Like, we're
in
time.
A situation where we're supposed to be boycotting, like, 90% of these companies that are publishing things, and, like, everybody's just good on giving them their money for the 3 months that they're going to run a show. Like, no, like, front load it. Let me get my subscription for what I want, and then I'll get rid of my subscription. Like, I don't have a Disney Plus subscription. Like, and what sucks is, like, so my, at work, my two coworkers really love X-Men 87. X-Men is my favorite comic book series and my favorite animated TV show, like, of all mm-hmm. time. So I was very excited for it. I do not have the time already in my schedule where I am reviewing weekly releases on other things to do that. So I'm waiting for it to build up, and I'm going to take the 5 hours of my day to catch up at my pace. And like, and but that's a different thing. So I'm keeping myself from a conversation with people who are watching it weekly, because weekly doesn't go for my lifestyle. And I think, like, ultimately what it gets at is, like, what I don't like about in the conversation is that people will say that it is inherently better for a show to be done this way. And right. I don't think that that is the case.
Yeah.
It is about the people who are in that fandom and what their lifestyle is. And it's about the type of show you are putting out. Is it a show that is meant to be discussed and communal, because those are very specific things? Is it something more intimate? Is it something that's a throwaway? Is it something longer? Like, the K-drama I'm watching now, like, they literally drop 2 episodes every week. Those 2 episodes are 1.5 hours each. Like, they're movie length. Like, I couldn't.
That's a lot.
And they're
dropping just 2 movies a week, or dropping a season of that as a binge model would be insane.
Exactly. And so, like, for that, that works, because they know what they have. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there is a place for both. But it, again, it's 16 episodes. I'm down with a weekly release at 16 episodes that I'm going to invest time in. And you're giving me something substantial. Me sitting down for 1 to 1.5 hours of my time to watch an episode is substantial, versus a 23-minute show on a platform I already don't want to give money to. Like, it's... Like, I think those shorter shows don't matter.
But then you look at something like Netflix, where they'll, you know, do their binge releases, but each episode is about 1 hour, and you could still enjoy that. Mm-hmm. But like you said before, you could, of course, do it at your own pace, potentially with friends if they can. I don't know. I just, like, think, I mean, I agree with you. I don't want to be giving these companies more of my money. I just, like,
because that's the only reason Weekly came back. Legitimately, Weekly did not come back to help the creators. Weekly did not come back to pay people more money. They're getting paid the same amount of money as if they had before. What it is there is to keep you invested in these platforms longer, so they can keep your dollar longer. That's what it is. Because when you release something as binge, you have it, you watch it, you're done, and you cut the cord. If you do it weekly, you don't do that. Now, over 10 episodes, Disney has gotten 2 months of your money. Right? Like, that's their plan. And that's why we went back to that. And it's why companies are switching back to ad models. And I think that that is the thing that I don't like, because I do think that it's disingenuous to say that one thing benefits creators more, when the creators are still not getting paid their worth. The creators are still having bad working conditions. AI is still being used in the actors.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that is still happening, and the release model isn't the problem. The problem is what these companies are doing to the people making these shows after they release them. And I think that that is my issue, because all of the other things I've seen, too, have been superficial. Well, I want to talk with my friends. Cool. I don't care. Like, I don't want to see Twitter conversations about it. Like, people are still talking about Fallout, and it's been out for 3 weeks, and everybody was like, can you imagine what people would have talked about if it was weekly? I don't know. It's still being talked about right now. There are literally 1 million people playing Fallout 76. There are 5 million people playing all of the Fallout games across Bethesda's catalog.
Right.
Like, so I think it is disingenuous to say that it helps a show to be weekly, unless it is something that is completely designed that way. You have HBO shows, which that is still a network, not a streaming
Which I
service.
Wanted to talk about that, of like hybrid platforms like HBO, Peacock, Paramount, where it's like, oh, a lot of your stuff is still coming out on TV or on a regulated schedule, but then it's also being put on your streaming platform. So, yeah, how do those factor in here for you guys in the conversation?
I just think they're different. Like, I think that if you're on a streaming show, if you are a web series, because that's what these are, they're web series. Mm-hmm. If you are a show made for a streaming platform, there is no reason for you to be weekly. if you are going the other way where you are airing on network television and then going onto a streaming platform after, like The Sympathizer right now, or Game of Thrones, or, you know, I watch Real Housewives and I watch Law and Order SVU weekly. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I watch K-dramas, which are simulcast weekly. I watch anime episodes that are simulcast from Japan weekly. I think that that is the difference. And when you have something like that, and all of those shows too are going to be shows traditionally with higher episode counts because it's made to go on for a full season. A season of television is a full season, not 8 episodes.
Although there is still the occasional shenanigans, and it pains me to say this because I do really enjoy the show for what it is, but Chucky season 3 did 4 episodes, I think, then the writer's strike, came back, did 1 episode that was on air and on streaming, and then the next week it wasn't on streaming, and they were like, oh, all of the new episodes are delayed by 1 week for just the last 3 episodes of the season. And I was I don't understand this move at all. I'm still gonna watch it, still love it, but it was like there's still this weird thing of like those hybrid platforms treating streaming not as an afterthought but just as like, well, we're gonna handle this how we want to handle it, and it doesn't, you know, we don't owe it to you necessarily. Because I remember, like, even when I was in college, to date myself a little bit, but there was someone I knew who watched House every week, and the problem that they had was that Hulu at the time, with all their Fox shows, everything was on a 1 week delay. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as that person missed a single live episode, they were off for a week the entire rest of the season. And they were, it did happen eventually, and they were pissed.
Yeah, the notion of like the dual network and with their own streaming service, it's interesting. It obviously, like, for those of us, you know, like myself, who just relies on streaming services, it helps us like keep up to date with what our friends, for example, like my fiance and I, we watch Top Chef, and, you know, we have friends that also watch Top Chef. Yeah,
we watch
that, you know, still on like network TV, it releases weekly. So I suppose it's the weekly release is also a means of us, like if it's a dual simulcast, then it's a means of us like sort of being in on what the networks are doing and what our friends and like people we know, what they're keeping up to date with. So that's a sort of communal aspect, which is outside of social media, you know, more like real life stuff. So, but like you do, it is difficult because like, I don't want to like be on here and saying, oh, you know, like, it doesn't matter that we pay more money to watch this weekly. No, like, you're right, Kay. It's like, it shouldn't be that way. It's just like, there's something about, okay, let's, in a way, like, it's not about like the release model, but like you said, it's about the pacing to which we set ourselves to watch these series. I enjoy watching it, you know, usually weekly, because like for my schedule, I'm really busy. I can't often do like a whole binge like I used to. I feel like I have more responsibilities now. I feel like life is just so busy, and I'm just like keeping up with things going on in the world that are like preoccupying my mind, even though I would love to like take, I'm not saying like, you know, anyone else like isn't like, you know, concerned with the rest of the world or anything like that. I'm just saying for my own headspace. Just like I would love to just take that full day binge and do that. Maybe like on Saturday, but like the last month has been insane for me. So I enjoy just having, like just a half hour, like, you know, something to look forward to. For example, with X-Men 97, every Wednesday morning to be excited about. And you're right, Kate. I shouldn't have to rely on a company to release something on their own terms when I could like set that for myself. But I also know, like, if I don't know, like the pacing, I guess maybe it is something I already do, to be quite honest, that me and my fiance with.
Like regulate yourself.
And I, like, we're still like catching up on Doctor Who. We still enjoy Doctor Who a lot, but like, we just haven't had the time to get to Shuri Gatwa's Doctor yet. We're still on like the last David Tennant episodes. So yeah, I guess it's like less of, you know, like this is how it should be released or not, but rather everyone has mm-hmm. to go by to the beat of their own drum at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I have issues with this mm-hmm. conversation when it comes up, because it turns into moral grandstanding right. for one side or the other. Ultimately, I think the largest things that come into this conversation is the communal aspect. How do you personally engage with your community and the media that you watch? Mm-hmm. And however you do that, that is what makes it easiest for you. So, like, there are certain things, like reality TV, for example. I watch a lot of HGTV. We watch Top Chef. Matt and I, at lunch, so that we get away from our computers, go downstairs, cook lunch, sit down, watch an episode. Do it for dinner. Cook dinner, sit down, watch an episode of any of our HGTV shows, Top Chef, like whatever is on.
Yeah.
And like that is a nice ritual that we have that is only sustainable because it's weekly. But the fact that all of those things are back to that are still on that platform, we have gone through and binged parts of these HGTV shows just because we had a Sunday that we weren't doing anything and we're like, let's just watch like Egypt and Michael like remodel a house. Like that is just like what we did. And I think that like when you come at it from a sense that personally I like this model because of the way that I engage with media and my community engages with that, I think that that is perfectly fine. The issue I had very specifically around what the conversations that were coming up with Fallout is that people were saying that Fallout is gonna fail because it was released all at once, and that is not the case. That did not happen. It was never going to happen. And I think that people are so, they idealize the idea of community with strangers, which is fine, and water cooler talk that really just doesn't happen anymore. It doesn't. And I think that some people detach from it, some people don't. And I think that there is an over inflated understanding of the impact that social media discourse has. And so people say, oh, well, nobody's talking about this show. It's like, yeah, but it's still one of like the top watch things on X streaming platform, right?
Yeah.
And I think we can talk about like issues that come out with marketing, but like ultimately all the issues that come on Peacock and Paramount Plus, like those are issues not because of their release models. They're issues because those two platforms don't market anything. Halo released weekly.
Yep.
Star Trek Discovery releasing weekly. Those things are releasing weekly, and they still don't have the type of conversation that people said they wanted for Fallout. And the thing is you have to build the vehicles around it. You have to have the good social media manager. And to be honest, I think Fallout could have done weekly only because all the other shows do really well there. But Good Omens is something that dropped all at once, and that had a massive following. And all of it is about the caliber of marketing managers and community managers that you have running the socials on your show. Are they keeping people engaged? And I do want to like say, like calling out her name's Maria Gisela on Twitter, Kayla Marie. She is the lead over there for Fanology at Prime Video. And she has been the lead on stuff like The Boys, Vox Machina, Good Omens, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Fallout. And the way that she runs those marketing campaigns and those teams, she is able to engage with the fandom that keeps these shows running past when they are going. You are not idolizing the release model. You are idolizing the people that are behind that marketing. Yeah. And that is something that I do not think people understand.
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of what I saw around Fallout was people talking about how almost like it deserved a weekly release. Like the quality of the show earns the release model. And I was like, you don't. You earn the conversation and the discourse around your product by being a good show. It's, you know, I mean, like, because there are shows, like Fallout, where it drops all at once and people talk about it for a while. And then on the flip side of that, there's like something like Stranger Things, where it drops all at once and we talk about it a lot for a very short window of time. Mm-hmm. And then for most people, not at all until the next season.
And I do think that is on the caliber of the show, and that's on the caliber of the marketing teams that you have behind these pieces.
Yeah.
If you want that, that's what it has to be. If you want to be engaged in fandoms. Also, like, if the people you like are not talking about the thing, there's a little thing called fandoms that you can go and search with hashtags and find people talking about the thing. Because if what you're trying to drive is conversation, you should not be scared to just jump out there and start talking with anybody you're talking about, because that's what you want. You want discourse. Go talk to other people, too. don't complain that your friends.
I guess this undoes maybe, yeah, an assumption I certainly had, and I'm sure others have still, that somehow having a weekly release can help ensure that your show gets renewed, because it's, again, more and more in the pop culture discourse. But that's not necessarily the case. Yeah. I mean, there is a number of factors that go into the renewal of a show, including, like, for example, with Netflix's own, like, rating stream models and costs that they have, other projects they want to do, a pandemic that may come around. Like, as upset as I was that, for example, Julie and the Phantoms didn't get a season two, I understand why it didn't. It literally, a pandemic followed season one. It's awful, but it is what it is. So I can't, like, fault Netflix too much for that one, even though I may fault them for a few other things. Yeah.
I fault Netflix for a lot of their cancellations. I've learned not to care about their things. But see, and I think that's the other thing is, like, on a personal standpoint, I would rather waste 8 hours of my day watching one show than waste 8 hours or 8 weeks of my life waiting to watch that one show.
And then you get to the finale and you're like, that's it?
And then it's done. And then there's no renewal. And I do want to point out, too, like, when it comes to renewals, like, weekly doesn't guarantee that. Like, there is nothing that we can point to data-wise that says you are more apt to get renewed. What we can point to is network television is more apt to get renewed because they're dealing with different budgets. If we want to talk about, like, putting these shows in the best way to succeed to where their numbers aren't so astronomical to make the money back, lower the budgets of these shows. You don't need a $25 million episode. Yeah. Like, that's actually what is impacting cancellations, because they are setting these super inflated numbers to make their money back, that if they're not making that back on these already really expensive shows, they're going to cancel them. And that's going to happen whether it's weekly or whether it's not. And I think that that is something that people need to understand. And I do think that, like, when you look at the models of, like, what is on seasonally and what is on episodically, like, you are going to find a lot that are coming from your networks, or they're like specifically designed usually by Prime to be written as episodic pieces.
Yeah, exactly. And so, just to give you an idea, I pulled up on there's a Screen Rant article of the 10 most expensive sitcoms ever made. So to give you, like, the timeline of how out of control things are: Married with Children, 90s sitcom, $1 million per episode. How I Met Your Mother, 2000s, $2 million per episode. Oh. Arrested Development, also 2000s. $3 million. Seinfeld, 3.25. Cheers, $4 million, kind of expensive. And then even The Tick, like the new Tick, $5 million. But then you eventually get up to, like, Big Bang Theory blowing $9 million an episode, or WandaVision blowing $25 million an episode.
Yeah.
And, like, it's yes, it's all trending upward, but then at the end it just skyrockets for, like, no discernible reason.
Because the quality is not there. Like, a lot of these things are coming out and it's bad quality. Like, you think about how much it costs to make every episode of She-Hulk, and it looked horrible. Or even, like, Citadel on Prime. That was, I think, $50 million an episode, and it looks like trash. Like, it's, we don't need to be having these inflated budgets. And you can say, well, it's, and I think, like, part of that is, like, TV used to be a place where you could discover new actors, and now they're just taking these already established actors with very high salaries and putting them in TV shows. Yeah. And it's fun and it's cool because everybody's like, hey, I know that guy. But you're inflating your budgets and you're going to.
This really happened in particular for Marvel when Kevin Feige took over Marvel TV. And I was so, naive back then. I thought, like, oh, this is a good thing. You know, like, now the TV series will, quote unquote, be part of the MCU more properly and have high budgets and, like, look better. But it just, like, the quality of something like Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which has so many fans who, like, long for it, or I don't know, like, the budgets of the Netflix shows, but still, like, those were, by and large, great quality. And I don't think they were anywhere near as expensive as the Disney Plus budgets. It's just like
Jessica Jones was $4 million per episode. The initial slate of Marvel Netflix shows was $200 million, according to this article.
That's what 8 episodes of television now.
And you have the same conversation with movies too. Like, you have like more releases coming out now. For example, Monkey Man, which was on a budget of $10 million compared to some of the releases from Disney and DC that have been around $100-200 million or something like that. Like, what are we doing here if the product is still going to look like crap? You know, it's just like,
Yeah. Well, and for a second, I was like, have we lost the plot that we're now talking about budgets? No, but related, I don't think we have, because what it comes down to is, if you're going to set aside as much money as you are for WandaVision, don't make it 6 episodes. Like, stretch it out and earn that weekly release and make it something that like people want to engage in and do that with. But instead, it's like, we're going to blow a bunch of money really fast, and then we're going to release it slow because we blew a bunch of money really fast.
And I think that that's like the longer issue. Like, I think when we take issue with the models, because like the binge model isn't something that's failing. It's what Netflix built its empire on, because there is a market for it. Like you said earlier, that like you don't have the time to sit down and watch. Well, I don't have the time to wait around every week, because when one thing happens, I'm now behind, and then I just never catch up. And so binging for me makes it easier to go around my day and kind of build my day, not around that release time, but build what I'm watching around what I'm doing, and that's easier.
Yeah.
And I think more widely what we're looking at, especially when it comes to the cost piece, and I think you said it, I think y'all said it like right on the head, like it is about these studios not respecting what they are creating. They are creating content. Yeah. They're not creating art, and they're just throwing it out there. And if it sticks, it's fine. If it doesn't, oh well, they're canceling it. And I think that that is one of the larger pieces of the conversation, that when you look at these things, it's not how you release it. It is the fact that these things are just being fodder for how you're doing it. Because at the end of the day, like a lot of these Marvel TV shows that Disney has, they are still fodder in the same way that some of Netflix's like binge dumps are. They're just fodder in a different way, because they want you to keep your subscription longer when all they have to offer you is nostalgic stuff. Right? Like, Disney doesn't really have that many new things coming to the platform that often, so they have to milk you for as long as they can. Versus Netflix, as much as they're, like, they don't have a lot of, like, original shows, there is a wealth of international content that is coming both all at once and episodically. They are, like, and I don't like a lot of the stuff that Netflix has done more widely, but I do think that they've given a good spread of weekly releases and binge releases, mostly because licensors will make them do that, and they haven't made the choice.
True.
And then if you look something at, like at Prime, I believe Eric Kripke wanted it to be episodic, if I remember correctly, and I think I don't know how some of the other shows, but they're kind of hit or miss. So like The Boys was one off, Gen V was one off, Diabolical was one at all at once, Invincible is episodic. Paper Girls was all at once. Like they have, they kind of pick and choose. And I think that that's,
I was trying
fine
to dig
too.
Into that, and every platform seems to dip into both sides, just like very situationally. But I did want to ask, actually, though, based on that, in your perception, who is the biggest proponent of each model? Because for me, Disney's the biggest for weekly. Like they do it more than anyone, I think. Like just maybe pure ratio, not necessarily number of shows, but. Yeah.
I agree.
But then I'm like, who's the Netflix. Biggest proponent of we drop everything at once? Because I think Netflix, but then Netflix also does shenanigans. Like, how many weeks did it take for the last season of Love is Blind to come out?
Yeah.
Was it like, it was like, oh, well, here's some of the episodes. Here's more of the episodes. Here's the finale and the special post episode.
Oh, that's right. Netflix is doing more of the batches now.
Yep. Yeah, they do. Which is funny because like, so they're doing core. So in anime, it's called cores. So you have core one of a show, which is the first 12 episodes, core two of a show, which is the last 12 episodes. And it's a way, it's like a mid-season hiatus, essentially. And what they're doing, like Netflix is starting to do that, but it's stupid because it's here are 4 episodes, wait 3 weeks for the next 4 episodes. And that's dumb. They have done batch releases for a lot of their reality TV shows, and that actually came from seeing success with batch releases on their K-dramas and K-TV shows, which they were in licensing things for that.
I have a conspiracy theory. I think part of why they do it with their reality shows is that they can follow the discourse and figure out how to lean the edit on the second half. Like, they're probably looking at, like, okay, well, which couples pissed people off the most in Love is Blind? Who do we want to put on camera
the most? I wish that was the case, but they do, like, 3 episodes a piece, not front half and back half.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Because yeah. I was like, it wouldn't surprise me if that was how they were running it. And I honestly, I'd be like, that's smart. I totally get it.
Yeah, I think most of their stuff runs off of like a 3 to 4 week window where they do three episodes finale. And that's how like their K shows are, like their Korean reality TV shows are 3-3-3 finale.
Gotcha. I mean, it's an interesting model. Like, we didn't even really get into like the outlier stuff of like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Max has done that volumes. A lot too. Like, Max was doing batch releases. I think they batch released Doom Patrol. They batch released Flight Attendant.
No, Doom Patrol was weekly, but they have like done a few other batches.
It was weekly until season 4. Yeah, season four was a batch release.
Oh, wait. Yeah, sorry. They released the first 3 episodes of season 4, and then following that, it was weekly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a whole other model of like, we're going to drop 3 episodes to get your buy-in and then we're going to go weekly.
And the funny thing is, I actually like, I'm more okay with that than anything, because I think a lot of TV shows, the way they are being written now, it takes longer to get going because they're building it in that like TV structure. Like, there are quite a few like Netflix TV shows where like first 3 episodes are kind of meh, but that fourth episode mm-hmm. hits. And so I think if you do that, like, I'm perfectly okay with doing that, because then I've given you 3 hours of my time at once. I've decided to be on the ride or not. I'm perfectly okay with that.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, not to be an old man about this, but yeah, you don't see, like, go back and watch the first 2 episodes of Futurama, and it is some of the tightest, like, introduce the characters, establish the world, tell some jokes, set the tone. But it's like, it's 40 minutes and you're either bought in or you're not by the end of it. I mean, even by the end of the first episode, it's that episode 2 introduces some other side characters.
Well, and that's like the other thing that I really admire. So like, this is the thing. I don't hate episodic television. I think that episodic television in and of itself,
it's a craft.
That, thank you. There are 15 seasons of Supernatural. That series was made to run in syndication, which means that it was developed for each episode to be able to be walked into, and then you're like, oh shit, this is cool, and then you go and you rewatch it and you get into it. And I think that is something, like, when it comes to screenwriting television episodes, there is something fundamentally different between the network show that went into syndication versus what we get. And I'm not even just saying on binge model, but just on streamer, like streamers themselves, like streamer produced shows don't do it in that same way. And that is something that is missing. And I think that's why I liked the batch release Dead Boy Detective so much, is it is very much in the vein of that case of the week syndicated TV style. And I do really like that. I just think you have to warrant it and you have to know how to use the craft. I don't believe that enough things that we are getting right now does. You said X-Men 97 does. I'm gonna trust your opinion on it. I will eventually watch it when it's done, because I'm not doing week to week. But
I mean, it's a lot of this too is just like, because I mean, what we've come down to is like, are the but why though Scooby-Doo reveal where we unmask the real villain and it's capitalism.
Shocker.
Always.
But also like, we're like, it's not wrong, and that also the shows that don't work as weekly releases but are getting weekly releases anyway, it's because of capitalism. And like, the shows that, you know, and it's like, well, we want to push like a big story and a narrative and all that. And it's like, but is it actually worth it? And is this the right method for it? Or like Kate was saying, like, do you go to the people who know the craft of writing a weekly release and let them write a weekly? Like, if WandaVision had been a true sitcom, 20 minute episodes released weekly for like 23, 24 episodes, would have been a totally different show and would have been fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
And honestly, they could have done more to pay homage to like old television the way that they tried to. And it would have been maybe a more like artistic endeavor. Like, there's a good not that I didn't hate WandaVision. I had a lot of fun with it, but there is a totally different version of that show that got skipped over that shouldn't have.
Yeah. There was like, just again, like, it's a 6-part movie syndrome that almost all the MCU series have had. And I'm hopeful that, you know, it was a few months ago, they had a report that they were doing revamping, especially for something like Daredevil Born Again. And, you know, maybe it will like take more note of the craft that is making television, whether they're going to release it in a binge, whether they're going to release it weekly, just understanding how to have that balance of having a solid episode that can stand on its own, but also connect to what the wider plot is without it being like so fragmented. There's a delicate balance there, which Marvel, which the MCU on Disney Plus so far has been wildly swinging away from.
Has not been able to find.
Yeah, like, because I'm thinking, like, I actually do watch a lot of, like, weekly television, like, now that I think about it. I just have certain pockets of my life where I've dedicated that time. And I actually like watching K-dramas weekly because finding 16 hours, sometimes 24 hours, depending on how long the episodes are, that is hard. And so, like, I can find 6 to 8 to binge watch a show. Finding 16, finding 24, like, that is infinitely harder. So I do think, like, I want to go back to long form television personally. Like, I think that that is, like, my grinding gear is, like, I'm tired of things being 8 episodes.
Yeah. Well, I think we're just not leveraging the strength of an 8 episode format is, like, a big part of it too. Like, I would be more interested. Well, and I think also on top of the, you know, and maybe this is just because I was conditioned growing up in it, but like there is a way to tell a story in 20 minutes and a way to tell a story in 40 minutes. And it's not that there's not a way to tell a story longer, but I feel like a lot of these are like wild swings that like, well, how do you justify a 75 minute episode instead of just making a movie? And that's not every show, but that's, you know, there are definitely shows that have done that. I think For All Mankind is an interesting example. Every season of that show is roughly 10 hours, but the episodes are 40 minutes to an hour and a half.
Yep.
And it's just kind of based on like what the story warrants at that time. And yeah, I feel like just getting a tighter control over like pacing an episode based on its length, because we're not sticking to those 20 minute, 40 minute limits anymore.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree.
I just want to like say quickly, this is like sort of separate from the binge versus weekly, but still, when I think about renewals, just a general note, unless it's a limited series or it's a duology of seasons like Fleabag, which was brilliant, love that show, I think series should be at least 3 seasons, so it has at least a beginning, middle, and end, and they should not go on for too long. I think if a series gets up to season 8 or 10, it's often too long. I think 7 seasons, like Parks and Recreation.
A lot of shows, season 7 is the last good season.
7 seasons, like Parks and Recreation had, I think, by and large, it's great. I just want to leave with that note on TV series.
Yeah, no, I think that that's worth noting, that there is something to, I mean, I think what it is that there's something to going into a story knowing what the story is, instead of just kind of like improvising on the way. You're not, I mean, because there are shows that they never knew when it was going to be their last season, and it shows, because every, you know, finale is written kind of wishy-washy, where like we could end, we could not, we don't know.
And you're absolutely right, like, and I think that that's hurting television ultimately,
because I mean it also is that thing, if people are like, oh, another season, how great, they can tell more story, and it's like, but do they have more story? Like Lost is the poster child for that, where those dudes wanted out at like season 3 and were told no. And we saw how that show went and how it ended. And that was very much a, you know, building the plane while you fly it situation. So again, the villainous capitalism. Oh, I remember my final thought. What I wanted to say, the only platform I know of that does weekly releases, and I think it's very justified and it's a weird one, is Dropout. Because one, it's all game shows and stuff like that. But two, it's also, that's the only content on their platform. They don't have shows from other people. So they kind of just have to stretch what they're able to produce based on the money that they have. And so then being like, yeah, we're going to do weekly releases for this 16 episode season. I'm like, cool, I'm bought in. And they overlap it and stagger it. They've started also doing like behind the scenes episodes, and every season of a couple of their shows ends with Cut for Time, where it's just like 20 to 30 minutes of like, here's all of the funny things that didn't make it into the final edit. Enjoy. But like they do weekly, and I think it's very much warranted.
Yeah, I think my final thoughts is, like, all of this is a personal choice. Mm-hmm. Like, I think at the end of the day, how you choose to watch and interact with your media, with art, is how you would choose to do that with you and your loved ones and your friends. And I do genuinely think that, like, the important thing is to not spin that out into larger value judgments on those things, because I do believe that episodic TV is an art form, batch release TV is an art form, and All at Once TV is an art form, and all of those are should be written and directed in a way that uses the release model to its strengths. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is something that people know, and that is something that they work with, and I think that it is misguided to talk about it otherwise.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Also, like, why do you all crave for the discourse? Like, you all are craving for the minds. Like, you're craving for it, and you're just going to complain about it when it starts happening. Like, stop.
I had a question written down that I didn't ask, and I think it would be another 20, 30 minutes, so we can't get into it. But do we even talk about shows with enough, like, depth and thought to warrant the long conversation and the long discourse?
Yeah, probably.
No! Like,
but it's fun. Theorizing is fun, Alex, okay?
Oh, no, that part is, I think when people are more like, it's art and we should talk about it, I'm right, like, we're right. not, yeah. we by and large are not smart enough to warrant that. But no, I agree. Watching like a good mystery show and just going with crazy conspiracy theories with friends, that's a blast. I do love that experience. But yeah, I think that does it for this week. So do you guys have any articles that you want to plug or any media you want to point people to? I know it was a really big week for games.
Yeah, so I think that if you are looking to play video games, you should go buy Tales of Kanzera Zao. That is a Metroidvania from Surgent Studios, published under the EA Originals banner. It is really, really good. It is all about grief. I'm really in love with it. I gave it a 10 out of 10, one of the few games I've ever given a 10 out of 10. But on top of that, you can also find reviews for Another Crab's Treasure, which is an indie Souls-like where you play a crab. Sandland, Akira Toriyama's last video game.
I can't wait to play that.
Sandland or Another Crab?
Another Crab's Treasure. And Sandland looks like it'll be fun, but Another Crab's Treasure, I was showing a coworker today. I was like, I need you to see this insane game that's a cartoon crab game, but it's actually a Souls-like.
And then, of course, the booby jiggle game, Stellar Blade. We have reviews for all of them up on the site, and we all give them pretty good reviews, so I think that it's a packed week for gamers. Not gamers TM, just gamers who like to play games. So check those out, watch it. And then I just also want to shout out the fact there's a lot to watch on TV or on movies too. And I want everybody to go watch Boy Kills World. Not because it's good, but I want to know what you all think. Because it's like hot garbage, but then I'm like, oh, is this garbage that I actually like? I don't know. Yeah, those are my plugs.
All right, and Suara?
Y'all can find me online, not so much discoursing about TV, but unfortunately real-world events, which are horrible, you know, put it lightly, at Spider Suars. I am a co-host of the Middle Geeks podcast. We are going to be reviewing, we're currently planning on reviewing the Arab American Film Festival here in DC, along with a couple other things later in May and June, including a review of We Are Lady Parts season 2. So check out our first review of the first season and stay tuned for that season 2 review. And also, like, just a few weeks ago, I'm going to go ahead and plug this, I had my debut at Nerdist reviewing Monkey Man for them, and I really enjoyed that film and hope you all will read my review. And yeah, as well as like read my stuff at But Why Though, Nerds of Color, other websites. And yeah,
all right. And Kate, where can people find you online? I forgot to ask that.
Oh,
part.
Yeah. You can find me at OhMyMethRandir on Twitter mainly and Instagram. And you can find, I'm like sharing all my stuff there. And like yelling about stuff.
A lot of yelling, always yelling. And you can find me on Twitter at most always Alex. You can find But Why Though basically everywhere. We are on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch. We have a Discord. We have a Patreon. If you want to if you want to spend a little money and send us some money, that's the place to do it. It helps us keep the site going and making the content that you're enjoying. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.